Welcome to FitChicks Chat, brought to you by FitChicks Academy. We help heart-centered women who love health and fitness get certified as fitness and nutrition coaches and build amazing businesses. Our goal is to educate and empower women to take control of their lives through our weekly podcast, where we talk about fitness, nutrition, mindset, and wellness. I am your co-host, Amanda Quinn. I am the co-founder of FitChicks Academy. I'm a personal trainer, yoga instructor, business coach, and a mom. In each episode, you'll either hear from myself and Laura Jackson together, sometimes solo, as well as from top female experts in the fitness, nutrition, and wellness fields to educate and empower you to take control of your life, health, and career. Now let's dive into this week's episode of FitChicks Chat. In this week's episode, we are going to be talking with the amazing Dr. Maritza Snyder. She is so cool, and we're going to be talking this week all about hormone balancing using essential oils. So Dr. Maritza Snyder is a functional practitioner and the author of 6 books, the best-selling book, The Dash Diet Cookbook, and The Smart Mom's Guide to Essential Oils, as well as The Low Glycemic Index Slow Cooker, The Antioxidant Counter, The Water Infusion Detox Book, and The Matcha Miracle. She has been featured on Fox News, Mind Body Green, Dr. Oz, The Huffington Post, and in Women's Health, Shape, and Self magazines. She has lectured at wellness centers, hospitals, conferences, and corporations on hormone health and essential oils, nutrition, and detoxification, and she is the host of Essentially You podcast, which empowers women to become the CEO of their health. You can find her online at drmaritza.com. Now, let's dive into our episode.
Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women. To help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Hey everyone, welcome to FitChicks Chat. I'm Amanda Quinn, and on today's podcast, I have the amazing Dr. Maritza Snyder. Did I say it right?
Yes, you did great, girl.
Yeah? Okay, cool. I was really trying there because I want to make sure I didn't miss the Z. So on today's podcast, I'm so excited about this topic because this is something that we haven't ever covered before on FitChicks Chat. And I think it's something that for me personally, it really connects to me. And I think it's so fascinating how this all works. So what we're going to talk about, guys, is how to essentially use essential oils to help with hormone balancing, right? So yes. How cool is that? So before we get started into like the hows and you know how this all works and understanding that aspect, I'd love to hear from you though, Dr. Maritza. Could you please tell us a little bit more about why you're passionate about this, how this all came about? What is your story?
You know, I have two big health journeys, and the first one started when I was a little girl, and I had horrible chronic migraines, and I was told doctor after doctor after doctor that I was going to live with chronic migraines for the rest of my life, and I missed out on everything. I missed out on school. I missed out on parties. I missed out on all the things that kids do. I just remember just feeling locked. I wasn't physically locked in my room, but it felt that way. I was living in a dark room trying to overcome these 2-3 day headaches or migraines. I was punctuated with headaches almost every single day. And I remember growing up, I remember being a teenager and being on, I was popping Advil and diet soda like it was nobody's business. Blah, blah, blah. Right. Because I was allowed to self-medicate this problem. And I ended up getting just terrible stomach issues and who knows what I did to my liver. But I wanted to go off to become a doctor because I didn't want kids to have to suffer the way that I suffered. And my migraines would significantly get worse during my period as well. It was just one of the more compounding things. And but when I was 24, I was a biochemist. I was a scientist once upon a time. And I had a woman in my office who's a fellow scientist who's like, I think I have somebody for you. I have this functional doctor. He's on your way home. Because I was so over anything. I mean, I was the woman who had all the pills in her purse. You could hear them jingling. As long as I could beat this headache, I called it catch a headache. Like if I could catch the migraine before it happened, then it was a win. But yeah. She's like, you don't necessarily have to live like this. And I was like, lady, I've been living like this for 15 years. Mm-hmm. This is my lot in life. And so I only because this office was like a mile off the freeway on my 45-minute drive home every day, I was like, okay, I'll give it a go. And changed everything, my life, my paradigm, everything changed. This team was able to get rid of my migraines after 3 months, 16 years with the belief mindset that I was always going to be sick. And right. I had no idea. I never thought I would get fixed. And so at this time, as I was healing over my migraines, is when I start to hit. I come from a lineage of a lot of hormone chaos. My grandma had a lot of hormone issues. My mama did, my sister and I. And it's so interesting. Mm-hmm. Even then, when I was that age, it was very taboo to have conversations around your hormones. It was just kind of like, it was just the suffering women deal with, you know? And so yeah. I watched my mama suffer. I watched my grandma suffer. And everyone kind of wondered why we were struggling, but no one ever talked about it. Right. So it wasn't until my late 20s, early 30s, that my hormones got so out of control that it really felt like the most debilitating time in my life. And that's where I decided that I wanted to focus my efforts, only because of the lesson I learned in my early 20s about the migraines, mm-hmm. that I knew that I had the capacity to heal my body. And I went to work. I took my research background. I'm a good researcher.
Yeah.
In my new book, I have 40 pages of reference articles. But I took that background and I took that belief mindset of, okay, my body can heal if I just put to work and get to work. Mm-hmm. And I was able to really not only heal myself, but heal that lineage of my family as well. So my mama and my sister don't struggle with hormone issues anymore. I'm not going to lie. Hormones are hormones. And so mm-hmm. I have overcome sometimes, but you can as easily as you get well, you can start to create some bad habits, start to make some bad choices, and you can feel your body saying, oh, whoa, 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 what are you doing? You know, and so I'm not going to say that I completely healed all my hormones at that age, but I know what it feels like when things start to slide.
So. Yeah, no, I think that's it. Once you do get to a place where you are starting to heal, you do start noticing. It's the same thing like when you eat really, you know, like when you eat, I guess, like healthier foods or things like that. As soon as you start eating something, oh no, like if I eat something that's greasy, it actually makes me feel so nauseous. Like it's awful, right?
Like the next day, like you just, someone hits you upside the head.
Yeah. Oh,
you can't function. You're like, it isn't worth it today. To have done that yesterday. Like,
yeah, exactly. No. So, I mean, that's fascinating. So you were able to heal. Did your family also deal with migraines, or was that separate from?
No, I had
separate from the other hormonal.
Yeah. I had head trauma. So when I was 7, I had serious head trauma issues. I'm not going to go into all the logistics of what
course.
Happened.
No, sorry.
But yeah, no, it was, that's the thing about trauma, head trauma. You can easily, a lot of things can happen. But for me, the consequence was migraines.
Wow. Okay. And so with your hormones, when you say like, you were seeing like major hormone imbalances in yourself and in your lineage, like what were some of the symptoms, some of the signs? Because I think some of our listeners, they're not even aware sometimes of what hormone imbalancing can even look like in your body physically or emotionally.
Absolutely. So for me, the moment, and it wasn't I had a lot of signs. I always tell people, so often when your body's hurting or you're getting symptoms, these are indicators, right? They're like the little red light engine indicator that says, you got to check this out. And so I was ignoring a lot of those indicators because as a woman, women just have, we just deal with stuff. We
right.
just deal with bloating, or we just deal with being tired. We all women are tired. What woman isn't? my mom was like, well, women are just tired. It's just how we are.
We do a lot. That's just who we are. Yeah.
And so I just, and then I still had some headaches. My migraines were gone, but I was still having headaches. And just a lot of those things, PMS, we always had PMS. And so it wasn't really like, oh, women have really horrible PMS. It's just our lot. And so, but the PMS was getting worse. So I was having, my migraines were coming back. I was not being able to sleep throughout the night. But with the real big moment was when I woke up, and this is when I just got in practice. I was seeing patients. I was seeing the very women who were dealing with the very symptoms that I was starting to find that I was having myself.
Right.
And I felt like I wouldn't call it a phony, but I was like, oh my gosh, like I need to get this under control if I'm going to show up for these women. But
right.
one day I remember waking up I'm being so bone crushing exhausted that I couldn't even get out of bed. And that's when I knew something was wrong. Like I had been tired in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've been, you know, but now it was creeping into my mornings. And I remember literally feeling like I was willing myself to get into the bathroom, to brush my teeth, to take a shower. So I had to be in the office by 9 o'clock. And it took everything out of me to get out of bed. I was winded. I was exhausted. I was 30. And I knew something was wrong. And I had put on weight. I put on like 35 pounds. I felt like I hadn't done a lot to deserve that. Yeah. I was like, where did this weight come from?
That's a good way of thinking about it. Yeah.
And so that was the big compounding moment. So chronic unrelentless exhaustion on top of gaining weight for what seemed like no reason, horrible PMS, mood swings, insomnia, and cravings. I mean, all of those things were happening. And I felt like a total wreck. And then when we ran a saliva panel, we ran a hormone panel. Sure enough, I had elevated estrogen levels. My progesterone levels were tanked and my cortisol levels were literally out of control. They were completely deregulated. I had no cortisol in the morning. I had nothing to wake me up in the morning. And then it was jacked up at night. That no wonder I had that horrible mental chatter, that insomnia. And it's so often what I see with women. I was the classic case of just someone burned out, exhausted, and not taking care of myself.
Right. And now, would you say, was there any emotional emotional factors that were also affecting your hormones? Because I think, you know, definitely, like, there's the outside sources, like the, you know, just being super busy. Sometimes even working out can increase your cortisol. Like, you know, Sometimes you think you're doing all the right things. Actually, let me back up with my question and say, like, are there outside physical things or is there emotional things or both that you can identify that actually trigger that sort of hormonal imbalance?
Absolutely. I mean, I had, you know, growing up, I hope my mom ain't listening to this. Really what was the deal for my mom was that she had really horrible menstrual rage. She was really angry and it would come and go. It would just be this time of the month where my mom would just lose. She would be like, we call it Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde syndrome.
Yeah.
You know, I was having a lot of mood swings, and a lot of it was when your progesterone just takes this massive nosedive in your luteal phase before your period, those 5 days, you just tank. And depending on how quickly that progesterone tanks, it can really make the difference of how you're going to feel emotionally. Mm-hmm. And tie that in with, I had this belief mindset that my worth was predicated and determined by how much I worked and how much I gave to others. And so everything was tied to this belief that I wasn't doing enough. And so I wasn't working hard enough.
Right.
And so the last person I was thinking about was myself. I was thinking about how I could do more to prove my worth as a woman. And that really messed with a lot of it. So I was very stressed. Mm-hmm. I was exhausted. I was snappy. My best friend called it snippy snappy. She's just like, you know, snapping at people. And so, yeah, I mean, I found I had really low lows. I was definitely anxious. I wouldn't necessarily feel, I was feeling depression, but a lot of women do. Mm-hmm. Especially during when you feel that nosedive of progesterone and estrogen towards the end of that particular phase as we step into our menstrual cycle. So yeah, and then progesterone, the purpose of it, not only it being such a precious hormone, it's so precious. It's our most precious hormone because it's very difficult for us to make. A lot of things have to be in sync for it to happen. And if it's not where we need it to be, you know, progesterone has really important communication with our serotonin levels. Mm-hmm. And when it tanks, serotonin levels tank too. I mean, if progesterone was where it needs to be, we really should be like sauntering into our period, which said nobody ever, you know, so that's where it really needs to be. And it was never that way for me. Like I literally just felt like I always took this really crazy nosedive. So yeah, I think emotions were definitely connected, but I think the biggest problem for me was that belief mindset. I did not believe that I deserved any self-care, that I deserved any time for myself, to take care of myself. I just worked out like a banshee and I tried to limit how I ate. I had really bad habits around taking care of me.
Mm-hmm. And what do you see with your clients in terms of like, what are some of the most common things that they may be doing on a day-to-day basis you know, whether it is working out or the food that you're eating or how they're eating, like, are there certain things that you see on a day-to-day basis with your clients that you know are causing, or at least potentially causing or wreaking havoc on their hormones that they could instantly sort of make slight changes to in order to adapt?
Absolutely. The big thing I see, and it's, you know, it, not that it's for every, but the big thing I see is we are constantly clutching the pearls, girl. We are clutching the pearls all the time. You know, your brain, the hypothalamus, the limbic brain, the old part of the brain, which is sensing, I call it stranger danger, right? If there's some guy behind me and he looks suspicious, as a woman, you know, I'm ready to fight or flight. I'm like, how do I get out of here? You know? So same kind of, so the thing about it is that, you know, we're hardwired for survival. So that's the first thing that has to happen. So like cortisol is such a powerful, all-encompassing, universal hormone. It really kind of dictates, it's the marching orders kind of hormone, right? It tells estrogen and progesterone and thyroid and insulin what to do. And if it's being dictated by like clutching the pearls moments, so I think I left the coffee pot on, or I'm running late to a meeting, or someone sends me a text message that I don't like, clutch the pearls, clutch the pearls, clutch the pearls. Like, so
I like that. I like that reference, clutching the pearls.
I'm writing that down. My husband's always like, what's wrong? You know, you forgot to send that attachment in that email. You're just like, oh, shoot.
Or you think you hit reply all.
Right. Oh, girl. Yeah, reply all. And there's a lot of opportunities to clutch the pearls every day. So I just feel like we're just in a constant state of stress and we're constantly just revving up. And what that communication process is called the HPA axis, the hypothalamic pituitary axis. And so often we are just driving and upregulating that particular process. You know, we talk about adrenal fatigue, but it's not really adrenal fatigue. It's the HPA axis fatigue, right? Where it's the communication of your adrenals are just doing their job. They're like, hey, I just keep getting signals that says I need to crank more adrenaline. I need to crank more cortisol. They're just doing their job on the end organ side. And so that's what I would say. A lot of women are, we're compulsively busy. We are compulsively putting ourselves second, and we are compulsively finding ourselves in those stranger danger moments where we're clutching the pearls more than we want. And when we deregulate cortisol that way, eventually you fatigue out, right? You're sending a lot of messages. So thyroids, your thyroid hormone can get deregulated because of that. You're constantly, I feel like thyroid is like the whipping boy for cortisol a lot. It's just like, we need more metabolism, you know, keep it moving. And then you've got progesterone, which was my issue. When cortisol is, your body's like, oh my God, we need more of the survival hormone. We're going to die. Then it's stealing from what we call the pregnenolone steal. So pregnenolone is the master mama bear hormone that makes all of these hormones, but it can be rewired to stopgap over here on these other hormones to make more cortisol. So if your body really truly thinks it's in survival mode all the time, it's like, whoa, 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 reproductive hormones, you need to be put on pause for a second, because we need, you know, that late meeting she was at, we were going to need some more cortisol for that. So that's really what I find is it's a lot of it for me was, and what I see for a lot of women is that we are just so busy, and we're not queuing in to what we need. I was the biggest player in my hormone chaos. I mean, I definitely had some precursors. We already saw some things. But again, you think about the lineage of my family. What also got transferred as the lineage of my family was a belief mindset, was a lot of ways that we operated. I was just doing what mama told me to do, you know, and what that's kind of probably what got her in trouble too. So,
yeah. No, and that, I mean, it's so fascinating how this all works and how we put this on ourselves essentially, because I didn't go through, obviously then no situation is going to be different, the same, but I went through something similar when I was, right before I was getting married, I was running my business, I was doing all these things, and my wedding was really low key, so it wasn't super stressful in my mind, but I had to go see a naturopath because I wasn't sleeping properly. I was getting dizzy spells. Just randomly, I felt like the world was kind of on like a wave, just, you know, because everything was just going out of whack because my hormones were so out of balance. And it turned out that it was literally just all self-driven. And she was, you know, and the way that she explained it to me was similar to what you were saying, in the sense that she's like, you know, the fight or flight. She's like, you're literally like, every moment of every single day here looking like, where's the tiger? Where's the tiger?
Like, that tiger.
That, you know, that kind of mentality. And yeah. I was like, oh, that totally makes sense, because it's literally like I'm always working at this high state. So, you know, one of the suggestions that she had for me was, we've got to reduce your workouts. So, because I was working out so much and I was.
Or the type of workout, right?
Well, that's just it. I was doing high intensity interval training workouts. I was running 10K four times a week. That's what I was doing. And she's like, that's not.
You are getting in wedding shape, girl.
Well, yeah, it was actually having the
opposite effect.
Completely. I was actually like holding weight more. I was like, I felt more bloated. I was like, what is happening? So in that scenario, I mean, when you have people coming to you and they're like, okay, well, I don't know what it is that I'm doing wrong. Like, how do you identify that? How do you even pinpoint sort of like, okay, like, lay everything out on the table and kind of are like, okay, this is, you know, here's where we got to switch some things, because there have to be simple daily things that people can do for sure.
Oh, I'm all about the simple daily. I'm all about the big levers. Like, how do we make changes in the big levers? First, it's just trying to figure out, one, again, what is the mindset of an individual? What's going on there? How do they feel about themselves? Do they even think that they deserve to love themselves enough to take some time? Yeah. What does their workouts look like? What does their eating habits look like? Just trying to get a sense of who they are. And you can, I mean, there's a lot of type A, you know, I think we're in a lot of ways, all of us are naturally that way, type A, because we need to take care of everybody. I always say that we do all the things for all the people all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's just so.
There it is.
And so I always tell people that one of the biggest things that they can do is really look at that morning ritual. You know, what is it? How are they taking time for themselves before they become other people's agenda, right? Are you getting into your phone? Are you getting into your email the first thing in the morning? Because now you're being dictated by other people's priorities. You've lost yourself in the process. And looking at workouts, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've gone into fatigue because I've always pushed it. Because I was always of the mindset, no pain, no gain. And so how can I, you know, 50 burpees every day, you know, running like you were running, right? And so taking a look at, but I always wanted to just, I want how my personality was is, how do I get the most out of this workout in 45 minutes? Because that's all I've got for myself today. And, how do I get this done? And, you know, you can only do that to yourself for so long before your body starts to crumble. So I always tell people, we got to mix it up, you know, and for women in particular, as we move into perimenopause, and perimenopause can be as early as 35, I start telling people, look at, you know, an hour in the gym isn't necessarily what's going to serve. Maybe it's only 30 minutes. And for me, 30 minutes is like the perfect spot. Anything more, and I'm doing too much, unless it's like yoga or Pilates or hiking, I can do that all day. But if it's a hardcore workout, I really don't need more than 30 minutes. Any more time than that, then I start to get into the danger zone. I'll start to feel fatigued in the afternoon. And that's when I'm like, oh, that's usually the first sign for me. If I start to feel tired in the afternoon, I'm not doing something properly, right? Because I should have energy for days. I mean, that's usually the first gauge for women is energy for days. Or another gauge for women too is emotional well-being. Are you feeling more, is your emotional tolerance, is your stress tolerance there? So all of a sudden, does someone say something to you and you just find yourself like, ah, I just gonna, you know, get out of, that's usually a good sign that that stress tolerance, you're hitting a kind of a plateau there as well. And that's why I love oil so much, girl. I'll tell you what.
I was gonna ask, like, so how does that all tie in together? Because I've heard of, you know, what you're talking about, I've had these conversations and stuff, but I've never heard about how to use essential oils to help support your hormones. And I think that can be such a huge, like, stress relief almost that you can just use oils, not just, but adding oils will help you in such a significant way. And I think, yeah, understanding that is so key. So please do share, because I need to know this stuff, because my stress levels are high.
Well, when I first started studying oils, I was really looking for common ailments, you know, things like headaches and stomach issues and immune system. When I had fallen into oils, I used, because of my chronic stress, It has been plaguing me for many years. I used to get sick because guess what? When you're stressed, your immune system tanks. And so I would get sick 5 to 7 times a year. It was just, I always thought I had a compromised immune system. We're just like, oh, she's just sickly.
Yeah.
Again, the things you just tell yourself, yeah, you're like, oh,
normal, totally fine. I'm just sick every day.
Yeah, I'm just sick all the time. Anytime a toddler comes into my office, it's over. So one of my best friends is like, I am so tired of watching you be sick and tired. And so she gave me this oil that was this immunity blend. And I didn't even know how to use oils then. I was putting it in my tea. I was putting it all over. I was just all over it. And I didn't get sick for 3.5 years after starting to use this oil. And I was like, there is something to these oils. Mm-hmm. So then I got really interested. I'm like, okay, well, how else can they support us? And one of the things that was happening is I was recommending these oils to my patients for a sore knee or a stomach issue or respiratory support. And they were coming back to me and saying, Marisa, oh my gosh, this oil, I'm not feeling anxious anymore. My worry went away. I'm not experiencing insomnia. And I was like, what? I didn't give that oil to you for that. And so that was when I really began to look at the research on the oils and really study them and began to put the pieces together that a lot of these oils, these beautiful chemical constituents, had profound impact on the body. And so I was like, well, how do they play a role with hormones, particularly stress, sleep, cravings, energy, productivity, so overcoming brain fog, PMS, cramping. I was like, what can these oils do? Yeah. And one of the most profound things that I learned about oils was their ability. We know that there are several essential oils that actually lower, can begin to rewire that HPA axis, and instantly, within a matter of 60 seconds or less, lower cortisol levels, lower your blood pressure, and lower your pulse point. And wow. I was like, what? And it just by simply using an oil. And so the what makes oils so profound, not their own specific superpowers, because they do have their own chemical superpowers that go into the body and can help cell-to-cell communication, can help repair DNA, they can do all kinds of things. But I was like, how do we leverage these to create habits, to create rituals, so that instead of me grabbing a candy bar or a frappuccino or I don't grab these things, but let's just say if someone does this, but let's say they, you can grab an oil instead. You can grab a craving blend. And as long as you breathe that in, cravings are an unmet need, right? It's always stress. It's always emotional. It's always fatigue. It's never, your body's like, man, you know what? My liver really needs that Snicker bar. Like,
no, it's said no one's liver. Emotional.
Yeah, it's always emotional. Yeah. So how do we manage the emotion? Like what is our body need emotionally to support ourselves? And so this is one of my go-to stress blends. I have it with me all the time. And because I'm always finding myself, again, there's some hard wiring in there that I'm always kind of combating. And it's just a combination of lavender, ylang-ylang, and bergamot. And it's like 10 drops of each. I top it off. This is just a 10 mil roller. You can buy them everywhere and anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I love making my own blends. And I love pretty bottles. I just, you know, the whole
why
thing.
Why not? Yeah, make it a little bit more extravagant.
Exactly. If I'm going to carry this bottle around, it better be cute. And so, like... And anytime I'm feeling like I'm feeling overwhelmed or I kind of feel like that stress barrier is kind of getting triggered. Like I'm getting a little bit more snappy. Like someone on my team will say something to me and I'm like, why didn't she just fix that to begin with? You know, like when I start to have those experiences, those things in my head, I don't actually say that to my team. Then I pull out this oil and all I do, I have this technique called the power of the pause. It literally rewires our neurological pathways and changes it can take us from sympathetic nervous system mode, so fight or flight, to parasympathetic. And what you do is you just take, it can be a lavender, it can be an ylang-ylang, it can be a bergamot. There's a lot of oils that reduce cortisol levels. Mm-hmm. But what you do is you roll it on your palms like this, rub your palms together because you might as well get it all over your palms and your wrists. And then you take a deep breath. And what you're going to do is at the top of that breath, you're going to hold it and then breathe it all the way out. And at the bottom of the breath, you're going to hold it as well. And what begins to happen is you rewire those pathways so that you create over time more stress resilience. And that's what we're looking for, more stress resilience, so that we're not just constantly refiring and upregulating that HPA axis. So you're not dumping cortisol into the system every 20 minutes or so. So right. I'll just do the little technique real quick. So just take a deep breath. I'm going to hold it and then breathe it out after 5 seconds and then hold it again. And you're going to breathe back in. And then by using these chemical constituents, you are getting more, just more power, more bang for your buck when you're using the oils. Uh-huh. And if you can get your stress under control, you can get so much under control. Mm-hmm. And it's just a great thing to have. So I carry them in the car. We have them everywhere.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Now with the breathing technique, because I know like with my yoga practice, we use that technique quite often with a lot of different breathing techniques and whatnot. But do you recommend people do it just one time? Just
no.
Pause, or how many times should they repeat that in order to really get the most benefit?
I say in the beginning, 5 times at least. Then I recommend titrating up to 10. So it should only take about 60 seconds, but it's that, and you do got to stop. There is that component of consciousness, being conscious, right? Yeah.
Don't be on a conference call doing it.
Right. I mean, and the thing is you will get benefits from that as well. Even if you just grab an oil, apply it to your wrist and just bring it up to your nose, there are benefits. But if you're really trying to rewire those pathways, you're looking for long-term benefits. That's going to be a technique that gets the job done. And I would say with about 60 seconds of doing that rewiring, and what you're going to find over time is that those things that used to trigger you aren't going to trigger you. You know, you have that friend or that person in your life who everything is chaos. Like, not that their life is chaos, but you know, you look at it and they just laugh it off. They're just like, girl, such and such broke today. Not even a problem. You're like, how are you that like that? Like, how are you not like freaking out over here?
Yeah. Like, how are you not like level 10 angry or whatever?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, they just have a lot of other practices in place that allow them to be able to operate in calm and grace during the craziest moments where you just may tip off the scale. And so I think that's really what I'm utilizing oils for in this particular instance is, you know, it's just allowing us to manage life a little bit more with ease and grace.
That's great. And what do you say to people that, you know, because when they hear about essential oils, sometimes they think of it as almost like the magic pill syndrome, like the whole idea of like, oh, it's just like another gimmicky thing. It's just like, you know, because people doubt it. People have these beliefs and they might be like false set of beliefs, but they have these beliefs that like everyone's just trying to sell you something just as like a quick fix, but nothing like that will actually work. How do you, like, what do you say to people that don't necessarily believe in the power of oils?
I mean, the thing about essential oils is they've been around for a long, long time. They were kind of all that we had for some time. But thank goodness with the advent of modern research, what we're finding is more and more research articles coming out every single day. So, you know, I know, for instance, that peppermint is phenomenal for curbing cravings. It's also great for respiratory support. It's great for boosting energy. But there are multiple studies done on the inhibition of craving suppression with the use of peppermint oils. One of the research articles with Dr. Alan Hirsch in this neurological journal. And so there's a lot of research that actually demonstrates they can show serum cortisol levels dropping. They can show blood pressure dropping. They can show pulse point dropping. So, you know, I couldn't make those statements unless there was something to back that up. So more and more research is coming out. And just like that immune system blend, it wasn't magic that immune system blend worked. It wasn't that I just put some oil on and wished that I didn't get sick anymore, you know. No, there's a lot of research in those particular oils, the clove, the rosemary, the eucalyptus, and the wild orange. We know that those oils have really powerful antiviral benefits, and they actually can go into the cell and stop the replication of viral mRNA. So, you know, because that's what viruses do. All they do is hijack your DNA to make more. That's the purpose of a virus. And if we can stop the process of that hijacking, voila.
Yeah.
So, you know, so there's a lot of research that, and I mean, the oils cannot do everything. How I think about oils with hormones is really how do we leverage them to create the habits that we need to create. So, you know, having, like, for instance, we use oils at night for sleep, for deep, restful sleep. And I'm in I do my podcast interviews in my bedroom. So I'm wearing my bedroom right now. There's no TVs. There's no electronics allowed in this room. We have blackout curtains, all the things, right? But we also have oils. So we have a diffuser that we run every night, and we only use calming essential oils. And we have little sprays. Here's my little diffuser right here. And it's got clary sage, cedarwood, and lavender in it right now. We run it by the bedside. And the second we smell those oils, we've been doing this for 7 years. You know, the second that those oils are on and we can smell them, our body has been programmed, our brain is to shut it down. So, you know, there's a lot of ways that I've integrated oils into my life so that I've created the habits that I want. For instance, I'm wearing a little lava necklace, and these have my productivity oils on them. So citruses, peppermint, rosemary, basil. Rosemary has been scientifically proven to boost memory and cognitive function. So when I'm, you know, right now I'm writing up a podcast episode, and on average it takes me 4 hours with all the research to write an episode. And girl, there are days where I'm tired. I don't want to write that episode. And so I need a little bit more brain power. And you know, the thing you'll think of is like, oh man, I just need a shot of espresso, or oh, I just need a little sugar boost. But right. If I have these oils on, I've got my little, I call them my memory and my focus, my energizer oils. Yeah. I'm able to power right through that. And so I leverage them to create the lifestyle that I want and that I know is going to literally take care of my body. So that's how I think about them for hormones. Yes, can they support, can they help to balance estrogen, progesterone? Yes. Can they support the liver in metabolism for hormones? Yes. But I also want people thinking about, how do you leverage these for the behaviors that you're doing every single day? Because it's those behaviors that are going to get us better. You may say, well, I've got PCOS and there's no curing that. But the behaviors that you do every day are going to support that you don't go into those crazy flare-ups, that, you know, you're not having horrible acne, or you're not so fatigued out. You can create powerful habits that are going to support that syndrome so that you don't feel like you're even dealing with PCOS every single day.
Right. No, that totally makes sense that it's, you know, what you're basically saying is that they're not necessarily, they can help in so many significant ways, but you also have to essentially help yourself. You got to do the habits to go along with it, but they really will support you in a massive way. What do you do with clients though that are maybe dealing, say, with like heightened cortisol levels? So if I was your client, let's just use the same example. If I was your client back in the day when I was like super stressed out and I was running all the time, and then you're like, okay, we're going to use this oil and this is going to help you. But then I still was like, okay, but I still want to run. Like how, because then it's kind of like a conflict, wouldn't it be? Sort of like a conflict.
Oh, totally. So yeah. If you don't.
It would basically just be like, you're just keep running in circles then, right?
You can't oil your way out of adrenal burnout, you know, and not that you can't support those tools. But yeah, if you still continue to run ultra marathons, even though I told you you've got adrenal burnout, then we've got a problem. You know, if you're continuing to jack up on espresso at 3, 5, and 7 p.m. every day, I'm like, I don't know. They're clearly, when it comes to, let's say, you know, high levels of cortisol, it's making sure that people get deep restful sleep, right? We got to get you in bed. That's a huge one. One of the biggest reasons why people are their cortisol levels are off is their sleep is off, right? So leveraging oils for that. But you're like, but I've got anxiety. I've got mental chatter. Girl, have you seen my to-do list tomorrow? I cannot shut my brain off. I'm like, lavender and vetiver, they will just shut it down. Like, it's like, I used to teach a lot at night, and to different practitioners. I would come home so excited. It's my favorite thing is to teach. And my husband, I would come home at like 10 p.m. at night, and Alice is like, whoa, you're at 100, I need you at a 5. And so he would have, and this is kind of a joke, but we have these little spritzers for sleep, you know, these little, and he would just be like, I just need to just spray you down with this. But he was like, you know, we just need to get an oil on you. We need to just like shut this down. So I tell people, you know, leverage, you know, vetiver and lavender, especially vetiver, is a natural sedative, and it'll shut things down. So that's like my secret weapon. If things aren't working, I bring out the big guns, and it's significantly better option than taking a, you know, taking any type of sleep aid, you know, like an actual pharmaceutical type of sleep aid. So I always say using oils topically before bed,
making sure that you're getting deep, restful sleep, making sure that you're eating right. You know, chocolate, sugar, and coffee or caffeine, they just jack up those levels even more, depending on the type of workout. So it's a multifaceted approach. I would just say oils are kind of like that emergency grab. If you know that you're finding yourself in that scenario, it's just much easier to grab an oil than it is to grab something that isn't going to serve you.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally makes sense. Now, you have a book coming out.
I do.
Why don't you tell us a little bit more about the book and how people can find out more information about you as well as find your book?
Well, here it is. Look at this. Yeah. So it's right here.
It's called beautiful.
Thank you. It's called The Essential Oil Hormone Solution. And it really, the first part of the book is all about understanding what's going on with your hormones. Understanding your hormones. I tell a lot of my story in there as well. My mom was like, wow, you tell a lot of your story. But I wanted people to understand that I could relate, right? That I've been down this journey. It talks about what your hormones are, how to test them, how to get your doctor to actually do the tests that are you deserve, right?
Oh, that's so key.
So key.
Sometimes they'll just do like the
bare minimum.
Yeah.
And they do blood, and that's, you know, you can't get any read on that. So it gets really detailed in what you need to do there. And then it also gives you some background on oils, just simply how to use them, how to not overuse them, you know, what you're looking for. So then it goes into the actual solution. So in part two, it's, you know, if cravings and stubborn weight are an issue, I've got protocols and oils and stuff and all of it for that. If it's PMS and it's perimenopause, menopause, there's a whole section on there. If it's sleep, if it's stress, if it's energy, if it's libido, I just break it down so that a woman's like, okay, that is my problem. I want a solution for that. But clearly so often we have multiples of those.
Yeah.
And then at the back, and it's built in with self-care rituals. And so it's meant, you know, so often this healing journey feels wrought with frustration and wrought with just feel like not a lot of wins. We feel like you're just climbing up this big mountain, no winds, no one understands. It's very lonely. It's very frustrating. And you just want your body back. You just want to feel better again. You want more your energy back. And so I really wanted to build in things that felt relishing. I think that's the reason why I love oils so much, is I really love all the things that I do with these oils. I love my morning rituals with my journal and my green smoothie and my oils every morning. I love going outside. There's so many things that I do that just really make me happy. It doesn't feel like a chore or a burden that I have to do. So I built in all these beautiful, gorgeous rituals that just feel like that you deserve these moments for yourself. But nothing like so ridiculous like, oh, I don't have, you know, I'm not that I don't have a bath ritual in there, but I get if you don't have time for a bath. I get it. Like, you know, that you don't even get time to go to the bathroom by yourself. You know, you got a kid at the door. So I get that too. So I was really mindful about that. And then at the end, there's a whole reset program. So I have recipe. I actually have a food reset, the 14-day reset. And it's pretty strict, but I mean, I really want to get the job done. So rebalance our hormones with food, a combination of food, self-care, and oils. It's like the trifecta for me. And when you put all those things together, you really do have a recipe for success. And I do give exercise recommendations. I know so many of these women are out there doing the wrong things. Either, you know, they're not doing enough, or they're doing way too much. I feel like we swing on both sides of the pendulum, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what the book entails.
Awesome. That's fantastic. And for anyone listening, how can they get a hold of this book? How can they find out more information about you?
Yeah. So the book is going to be available everywhere, anywhere. And clearly a lot of people go to Amazon, but it'll be, you know, anywhere books are sold, the book will be there. You can also check me out. You can check me out at Dr. Marisa. So DrMariza. I'm on Insta. And then I also have a podcast called Essentially You, and it's all about helping women become the CEO of their own health. And so, kind of that same mission that you're on, my dear. Mm-hmm. And yeah, those are the best places to find me. I also have a little freebie. I don't know if we're going to talk about that, but yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely. If you want to mention it. And then for anyone listening, the freebie that she's talking about, is the link will be available in the post. So make sure that you go to fitchicksacademy.com and you can check out the link so you can download it.
Yeah.
So that is...
one of- Yeah, one of the things I didn't do on this call or this, I didn't give a lot of recipes. And sometimes I did name out oils. So mm-hmm. I hope you guys, but I do want to be able, and since I didn't do that there, I have this guide. It's like my little hormone essential oil cheat sheet. And it's got all of my go-to blends. So for stress, for emotional well-being, for cravings, sugar cravings in particular, for energy boosting and productivity. And I believe there is one more. I don't know if it was a libido blend or not, but I was hitting the main points because we've surveyed my girls, and that's what they want. They want more energy, more productivity, and they want less stuff in their life. Yeah, less cravings for sure.
Awesome. So anyone listening, you can definitely download that free guide for you. It's a little cheat sheet that's going to help you develop and figure out what oils that you can basically use to help support that. And then, of course, you want to make sure that you check out her book. There will be more information about the book as well in the post. So make sure you check it out there, but it's essentially the essential oils, hormones.
Solution, yeah.
Sorry, yes. I said hormones, not hormones. Sorry. Essential oils, hormones.
I mean, it's hormones. It's all the hormones.
It's all of them. It's not just the one. So everyone, thank you so much for listening. We do have to cut this off. I feel like we could probably talk about this stuff for hours because I feel like there's just so much to cover and so much to learn. But I want to thank you so much for joining me today. Dr. Maritza, thank you for your time. Thank you for sharing your story, for sharing your information as well with our listeners.
Thank you for having me. It was such a pleasure.
Oh, it was great. So everyone, thank you again for listening. Make sure you check it out. Make sure you check out Dr. Maritza on Instagram. Check her out. Check out her website. Make sure that you check out her book as well because it's amazing. And we'll be in touch soon. Okay. Thanks again, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.
Thank you guys so much for joining us this week. If you love the show, we would love if you could head over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating and review to help spread the Fit Chicks love. We release a new episode every Tuesday and Thursday, so please be sure to subscribe so that you never miss out.